Alrighty, we're going to pick right up where we left off with Matthew Fairburn's selection of Aaron Rodgers, 9th overall in the first annual Go Long quarterback draft. Co-host Jim Monas, The Athletic's Matthew Fairburn, live at Fatty Bear Company in Hamburg, New York. A lot at stake. A dinner at the Grange. So, yeah, let's pick it right back up with full analysis of Aaron Rodgers becoming a New York Jet and some more interesting picks the rest of the way. Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
He's not that far removed from being MVP of the league. Pro Football Focus loves this guy when he's playing well.
So do I. He always scores well for me.
He was like, I think, 17 for PFF last year. And last year was a disaster for Green Bay in a lot of ways. Offensively, they were stuck in the mud.
He can still throw.
I cannot sit here and confidently tell you anything about what's going on inside his head. But it seems to be the pattern with him is that he does like when he can try to prove people wrong. And he's pretty happy out there in New York so far. He's got some talent around him. He might be over the hill, right? You get to that age, you don't know. Yeah. But if there's any of that old quarterback left with the talent they have on that offense, I think there's a good chance. You know, I'm sitting here, Allen Herbert and Aaron Rodgers. Feeling pretty good about that.
Did you consult with Aaron via FaceTime?
There were no FaceTimes exchanged. We don't know if he wants to be a part of this team. But
right. He only talks to people he likes. Right.
I thought maybe I should turn off all the lights in here before I made the pick.
Yeah. Just
have a little darkness retreat. And
he was off some people's boards.
He was not on my board. I value honesty.
I figured he wouldn't.
Character.
Character red flag. I didn't know where he would be on the Monas board.
He was almost there with Carr. I just wanted to mess around.
Well, I mean,
I could have sat around and waited a little longer, but look, when you see your guy,
he's ridiculous. He's better than Derek Carr.
And he's better than he played last season.
I agree with that too.
If he's refreshed and he's ready to roll, look, I have a hard time stomaching anything with the New York Jets and ever buying in that they're turning a corner. So I don't really buy into the team necessarily. But do I buy into the fact that Aaron Rodgers can squeeze out one more productive season? Like, yeah, I'll take that chance when, especially in a setting like this, right? You got to take your risks. I have no idea what to do with the number 9 pick. This is where it's like, I think it's really weird. Rodgers was easy.
It's funny when you actually do it and you're like, wow.
It drops off really quick after those guys.
I mean, is it an easy pick though? Do we want to move off Rodgers that quickly?
I am. You have to. This is on you.
I feel like I should give you the floor. I know you've got.
I think he's so good.
It's been another big week for Aaron Rodgers. He spoke to Matt Schneidman.
Great get by Matt Schneidman, Syracuse alum. Read the story. It was fantastic. He does a great job covering the team. This is no indictment.
And it's another, but it was another bit of Aaron Rodgers.
He strikes me as somebody who lies and then forgets his lies. And he can't keep his lies straight. So he kind of stumbles over himself at all these different twists and turns and contradicts himself left and right. It's hard to really follow his logic. You know, the Packers aren't going to put anything out there because they're ready to move on. Trust me. They don't want to relitigate the past, even though I truly believe the facts are on their side with how that went down. They're just ready to move on. I mean, I think they're so tired of this guy and the drama and the antics and the headache. And he wanted the GM fired just because they drafted a quarterback. So you're getting a temperamental, to your point, maybe he plays his best when he's pissed off and he has something to prove. We've seen it before. But we saw it before with Davante Adams, with a receiver who he had thousands upon thousands of reps baked into his personal encyclopedia with. I mean, that was the basis for their offense, those two MVP seasons at the end where they could just audible the plays from 4 or 5 years ago. You can't do that with Garrett Wilson. You can't do that with, well, I guess you can do it with Randall Cobb, but, you know, Cobb is a corpse at this point. I got to go to the old thesaurus. I feel like I've referred to Cobb as a corpse and like a – and the like several times over. Well, he shouldn't be in the NFL. He's not an NFL player at this point. He's not. Would you employ Randall Cobb if you were running an NFL team? I mean, if he wasn't Aaron Rodgers' friend, no, he wouldn't be on the team.
I agree.
So, I mean, there's a lot of ridiculousness that you have to put up with him as your starting quarterback. He just didn't see the field well last year. There were receivers open. He just didn't hit them. And physically, he wasn't the same guy.
I agree with that, too. I'm not buying into the Jets, either. I'm just not.
That's
the AFC. These are seasoned, tough teams that have been battling right now to get to the Super Bowl. You're just coming strolling in. I don't think it's going to be as simple as that. You have nothing established. You're going against established teams.
They're a terrible organization for a reason.
I don't think they're going to win.
We're talking about talent with the Jets. That's all we ever talk about, talent.
And I haven't bought – it's very hard to buy into them always. And I think it's just as difficult in this situation because, like I said, there's so many new pieces. And the AFC is just loaded with teams that have been doing this year after year.
That's what I'm saying. And they're fighting.
I don't need to buy the Jets to buy Aaron Rodgers.
No, not for PFF profile. Agreed.
So that's where I come from. But, yeah, I can separate the two for sure.
No,
I think Aaron Rodgers could put up some numbers and they could lose a lot of games. And things. I could see things getting quite ugly, even if Aaron Rodgers has a solid season. So the idea that going from Green Bay to the New York Jets is like some sort of football awakening. Like you're going off to you know football summer camp or something, and you're going to have this great time. I'm not so sure that Aaron Rodgers fully grasps what he's walking into, and I don't know that. Doesn't it feel like an odd fit in New York at this stage in his career? The way he likes to talk, the mess he seems to get himself in with you know his various versions of the truth that he likes to spin. New York just seems like an odd place where if things start going wrong, for a guy that went into the darkness for 48 hours or 3 days, whatever the hell it was, for a guy that seems like he wants to be off the grid a lot of the time is now going into New York City. A lot of it seems odd to me, but I can see some numbers being put out.
What's interesting, Matt, is, you know, when I first started covering the team, 2011, I was good buddies with Kareem Copeland, you know, so we're at competing newspapers. He's covering the team for the Green Bay Press Gazette. I'm at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but he's like one of my best friends out there. We got into a lot of shenanigans at the Washington Post now. But I just was texting to confirm this recently. You know, Aaron Rodgers, like, shut the Press Gazette out of one-on-one interviews. Like, basically just talking at his locker one-on-one after the scrum or whatever, which – everybody does, like shut them out for a year because I believe like a photo editor at the newspaper and like a photo gallery or in the entertainment section on the site referenced that he was out with his girlfriend or fiance at the time. It was something very innocuous. And to your point, he for the longest time valued his privacy. Like it was off limits, nothing off the field. I don't want anything out there. And then all of a sudden it shifted and it was around 2014, I believe, is when he was dating Olivia Munn, cut out his family, cut out his closest friends. That's when the Christmas presents get sent back to the family. That's when he doesn't go to his grandfather's funeral. All the stuff that we've reported on in the past. Like, there's this shift, and all of a sudden, he's very public. Like, and he's with celebrity to celebrity, Danica Patrick. Was it Shailene Woodley? How do you say her name?
He's public in his own way, right? But he's still very sensitive about what people say about him.
I see what
you mean. But he does seem to like to joust a little bit more out in the open. But he's got his hand-picked interviews that he does. He's got, you know, he does seem a little bit more sensitive to what...
He believes he can dominate the narrative of his career. Yeah. And
that's going to be harder to do in New York. That's going to be hard to do in that market with, you know, that much media attention. So it's an interesting fit at this point in his career. How odd is it that history, like I'm having like deja vu with Brett Favre and the whole thing. It's like, it is really odd how it's just all. Green Bay's got their quarterback in waiting and they're trying to push the legend out the door. It's just, and they end up in New York of all places, but.
Man, does Pat McAfee owe him anything from that contract? Is that a dinner, or does he owe more than a dinner? that
contract. Did Pat McAfee sell out? Do you believe you take that?
Take it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. That's
That was David Pollock. He saw that on College Game Day this fall. They started bumping David Pollock out right away, like on starting rotation almost on their College Game Day.
Power to anybody that makes it in the business.
He's a star. He's a star.
Not my cup of joe.
They want to hear him. Right. But people want to hear him.
Style.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. He's for ESPN. He's for ESPN. Yeah. Somehow, some way.
The 10th pick.
Go ahead. Here we go.
10th, right? Or 9th.
I guess. 10th.
See, this is where I'm starting to think about that bill at the end of the year. And you're starting to think it's easy enough to go upside all the time. But I made the joke, and it wasn't really a joke. I'm picking Kirk Cousins.
No! He's going to grade. He's a rock star.
This guy, we're sitting at 10, and I think he's just a solid 10th. To 12th best quarterback when it comes down to the end of the year. Do I want this guy playing for me in the playoffs? Hell no. But he's got the best receiver in football to throw to. He's just got a track record of doing it over and over again. He's got job security. Look, we all know what Kirk Cousins is. We don't even need to litigate it, right? We don't need to say it. I know why I wouldn't really want him as my quarterback long term. But if we're just talking who's going to put up the numbers this year, he'll do fine. I mean, eventually he won't, because that's how it goes for every quarterback. But at this point, I need a safe pick. I just took Aaron Rodgers, right? I need a safe pick. I need to backstop him with a guy that's got a high floor.
It's tough.
We know what Kirk Cousins is at this point. I don't have much to add. It's hard to criticize the pick.
He's
accurate.
He's surviving
in
this league.
He's got to be quarterbacks in the NFL still.
More than survive. Like,
he's just been he'll probably get paid again, right?
There's a chance.
There's no reason to think he won't.
Yes.
Not quite what he got paid the first time.
They drafted him another weapon, right? Jordan Addison.
That's the thing. He's got a nice offense out there. Somebody's got to get Justin Jefferson his yards and touchdowns, right? So,
yeah.
PFF likes it.
It's a great pick. I think that's a fantastic pick, and I can't argue it. All right, gonna take a little bit of a risk myself. Tua Tagovailoa.
I was thinking about it.
The injury risk is.
If you listen to our podcast, his picks. I could have made these picks.
I really think.
No, these are the guys you like.
A full offseason now.
Yeah.
Second full offseason with Mike McDaniel.
I'm with you on that.
What surprised me the more I was looking into Tua's season? I think watching it and looking at the way that Tyreek and Jalen Waddle run after the catch, you think it's a lot of, like, shorter passes and they're doing something with it. But they are stretching the field with those guys. He drives the ball down the field. Now, the Chargers mentioned the Chargers defense earlier, like they kind of picked the lock on that offense. I believe it was Sunday Night Football, where it was just confused Tua enough, cloud things up a little bit on that first read, and it was hard for him to get to 2 to 3 and react. So that's what this offseason is about, when he's not doing jiu-jitsu and learning how to fall with grace, which, I mean, we'll see if he can figure that out. Everybody who read the Kevin Cobb stuff knows it's pretty scary when you get concussion 3 to 4. I mean, you lived it. You were on the staff. You were going to start Kevin Cobb that 2013 season.
Man.
And he suffered the fourth concussion, and the fans are all hazy right in front of him. So, yeah, I mean, if Tua really did suffer a concussion against the Bills like we all thought he did, then that meant he had 3 last year. That's 3 in one season. That's horrible to think where it could go from here.
I agree. It's hard to believe. Like, I really think it is.
It's nerve-wracking to think that he's going to be out there. Like, those are the moments that are hard to hide from, I feel like, as a football fan.
Yeah.
Just knowing.
We talk about it.
You can't forget it.
No.
What happened last year. And to know that he's another hit away from that is scary. But you know, you go back to September, October, this guy was one of the hottest passers in the league. It makes it even harder to watch when it's like this guy's at the very top of the sport for a period of time and then wondering whether he'll ever be able to play again before he's ever even really had a chance to be at the top for very long. You know, he's barely gotten to the top of the mountain before he's getting kicked back down. And you hope that the Dolphins, the league will, you know, protect him from himself, but we know how it goes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not how it works a lot of the time. And so we'll see. But yeah, I mean,
I love that they picked up his option. You know, that financial security. Yep. That's just a good move. Just man to man for an organization. Maybe not the smartest thing.
But you know, if
you're going to run a cold hearted business, it sends the message that we care about the players. Because that's fully guaranteed. He's getting that money.
They pay attention to that.
Right, that sends a good message to the locker room. And when look, it's a gigantic if. But if he's out there, if he's healthy, man, he was on fire. He was right there in the MVP race into mid to late November. I think I can't go wrong at number 11, taking Tua, who, if he's hot, if he stays on the field, I think this offense will have a counterpunch. I mean, how good Mike McDaniels. Granted, he couldn't get the offense out of the huddle and snapping the ball in time a handful of times against Buffalo in that wild card game, but it says so much about him as a head coach and the team that they were in that game down to Skylar Thompson. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They really should have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they're full strength, they could win the Super Bowl too. I mean, they're right in that conversation.
NFC.
He was right there. He was in the conversation in our room here.
Stat-wise.
We went Kirk Cousins. Went with a safe pick. Roll the dice with Aaron Rodgers. The injury, you know, with Tua is what's going to scare you away. But if I'm starting a team, I'd probably take the chance on Tua over a Kirk Cousins. Because you got the upside when he's playing well with those weapons and that offense. That is legitimate. Like, they could make a run in the NFC.
All right, Monas, you make your pick and break it down while I get another beer.
If you have the seltzer, it's seltzer. Water if you see
Matt, you need a beer?
Good.
You're good? All right.
Appreciate that. It's right by the bottle of waters. All right. Matt, you're going to like this. I'm going to give both the picks, and we'll fill him in when he gets back. Back-to-back, I'm going playmakers that I believe in. Justin Fields, Deshaun Watson. Now, here's where – this is why this is probably not good for me. PFF, this could go bad on PFF. And we're going to talk about this when he gets back. I don't – Deshaun Watson can't play worse. But he should have looked like that. He hasn't played. He hasn't practiced. He should have looked that bad. It was like embarrassing bad how he looked. That's not him. And he's got too much in him to play, you know, pride-wise. He's not going to look like that on tape. He never has in his life. He's not going out like that. Justin Fields, these both Fields are so tough. What he's been thrown into in the NFL is almost wrong. That the Matt Nagy era, then you get this rookie, you get rookie coaches, the team's just flipping around, set up for failure. All he does, puts his team on his back. But it's all right now running, which PFF, the passing's going to have to get better for him to crack my.
But it won't but be if all it does, bad. It won't be all bad because he
what
will,
do you think? Yeah,
he'll boost. He'll boost himself because of the rushing. Right?
Like, you go ahead. I did them both. All right, Justin Fields, Deshaun Watson. You sit down, take it in. Matt just heard my explanation.
You're right that the PFF passing grade for Fields is probably going to
hurt,
be lagging a little bit. But I think the running will offset some of that. And still, you would think room to grow as a, you know, plenty of room to grow as a passer.
I do think there's room to grow.
And, you know, so at times last year, the plays he was making, it was kind of crazy. I didn't, because of the situation he got thrown into, didn't think it was ever going to happen for him. And so, I mean, look, you're building a team over there that you got Derek Carr, right? So now you take some chances. You know what you're getting, Derek Carr. You take some chances. I think Deshaun Watson.
I feel like you guys are, when we're done with this, we're going to have Vegas odds as well.
Okay. I think Deshaun Watson is the bigger risk of your two picks.
I said, I took my explanation on Watson was that was embarrassing when he was put out there last year. He has too much champion football talent. He's not going out like that.
I just watching him.
He was terrible.
It seemed like, okay, this first game was pretty rusty, but he'll work it off. And then the next game is that was pretty rusty too, but yeah, he'll work. He was just rusty and not that great in each of his starts.
Terrible.
It's been a while since we saw Deshaun Watson play
really good football.
How do you unlock that? Like, how do you get back to that point?
Well, I think the rest.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, that could help. Jump balls help. Yeah. Being able to throw jump balls help. But no, I think it's a matter of the reps, playing, getting your legs back.
Yeah.
He was out of football and he looked like it. We all know that is not him. We know the guy that could have beat Buffalo.
I think that's the risk you're taking here, though, is that guy's still there in Cleveland. Again, kind of what we talked about with the Jets.
Yeah.
So would you say it's a little bit of a gamble?
A little bit. I'd rather have Fields right now than Deshaun Watson.
I like these two. I respect what he did in Houston. Like he did a good job down there. Like
not an easy situation there. Agreed. A lot of the time.
Both of them. I was talking about that. Fields and like set up for failure. He's bad. So hopefully they've made some changes. We'll see. I'm not sold.
They stuck by him, so there's that much. But
all right,
they've got a legit number one in DJ Moore. Yeah, there's.
I love DJ Moore.
And that little run that he had was really impressive.
Yeah, he's got to get better passed.
Yep. All right.
We got.
Well, this is the easiest pick in this exercise.
Oh, I know it. Can I just? Because I've said I know every pick.
The easiest pick that anybody can possibly make in this draft is right here at 14th overall. I think he's better than the 14th overall quarterback. We're going Jordan Love at 14 overall.
That was going to be my guess, and it was actually going to be my next pick. It was going to be my next pick because I knew he was going to be high.
I'm wrong.
We're going Jordan Love. He's a mystery man. To the country, not just the NFL.
PFF doesn't care about that. PFF is...
They don't like... Or they didn't like the small sample size. Well, I should say.
That's the thing. You haven't seen him, but guess who has seen him? Guess who doesn't look at him as a mystery? The Green Bay Packers. Brian Gutekunst. Matt LaFleur. Christian Watson. Aaron Jones. Romeo Doubs. A.J. Dillon. I know David Bakhtiari is talking about rebuilding, but he's wrong. All right? Jordan Love is ready to start, to win, to produce. I think that what they saw in practice the last 2 months of the season with the deep ball wasn't as good as it gets. And he is just an extension of everything they want to do in offense. It wasn't the case with Aaron Rodgers for good reason. He can tap into his own personal offensive line of scrimmage. He had that autonomy where, man, imagine 3 years, 365 days a year, you're training to be the quarterback for specific offense and a coach, and you're playing versus air, and you're simulating things nonstop. You get thrown in against Kansas City. It doesn't go well, but then you turn that corner. Year two to year three, right when Aaron Rodgers signs that $150 million contract. I think that what players told me is, hey, we saw it in OTAs when he came back. He was a different quarterback. You saw it in the preseason. Granted, the numbers aren't great if you look at it, but I remember watching each of those preseason games. The escape, the improvisation, it was promising, right? You can't read too much into those kind of games. But then you saw it against Philadelphia in the one game he did play. It wasn't mop-up duty. It was a close game. They weren't just in prevent. They were trying to win. 6-9, two drops in there. I think that he has to play. Like, I get it. Yeah, the sample size is very small. Like, we haven't seen a lot of it.
Just let it play out.
But I need an upside pick here. That's obviously, it. I've been high on him for a while, and I think that Green Bay, they wouldn't be all that. And this is where maybe Aaron Rodgers has somewhat of a point in his diatribe with McAfee and with the Athletic. When he says, like, he wants the Packers to just say that we – just say it. Like, you want to start him. I think that might be true. Like, I do think Green Bay made the decision pretty early on. Like, we're going with Jordan Love. Like, we believe in him. He's our guy. And we're tired of the other stuff with the other quarterback. And I'm really excited to see him play. See if he's good. I think he is. Nobody really knows yet.
I'd like to know if there was a debate between Gutekis and LaFleur. If Rodgers seems pretty vocal out against Gutekis, would you agree? More than LaFleur? No. I'm asking.
I think that the Rodgers-LaFleur relationship
is not good.
Was fine. That's okay.
I do too. I think knowing a head coach, how they operate, he wants the shirt. He wants Aaron. LaFleur wanted Aaron Rodgers.
See, I think he reached the point where he was ready to move on. I think everybody's on board right now.
So they didn't do that. I was just wondering. It just seemed like Rodgers was singling out Gutekis more. Not Rodgers personally, but it seems like he's aimed at, wanted him fired. Like,
this is, I mean, I don't know LaFleur personally. I would think anybody who ascends to NFL head coach on the strength of their offensive mind wants to run their offense, right? And he kind of has, but he kind of hasn't. For the most part, it's been really, really good. I mean, Aaron Rodgers won 2 MVPs, but they've kind of been building these 2 offenses within one the entire time. That's why I love the pick. It gives you that opportunity. No, How many teams can do that? Nobody can do
that.
He's
a complete unknown.
So he's
complete unknown.
I do think that LaFleur has a really good relationship with Love.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean
Steve Calhoun has said he's been in touch with LaFleur all offseason, each offseason.
Oh, no, LaFleur definitely excited.
Specific drills. That's what I want you to work on.
Well, I think at this point, we're at, what, the 14th pick. Again, you're looking for those guys that are going to be jumping up tiers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is the number one candidate in the NFL to jump up a couple tiers in terms of where you slot. Because if you're just slotting him right now based on what he's done, he's somewhere around the 20 to 32nd best quarterback starting in the NFL. But what he could do, there's talent still there in that offense. They didn't, you know, like you said, they could throw the rebuild word around, but they didn't tear it down to the studs. They've still got some good players out there. And it's always interesting, right, when a guy's just been sitting and you haven't seen him and you don't know what he's going to look like. And then all of a sudden he gets in there and does it. And everybody thinks, why didn't we see this come? Is it not? I mean, he sat for a lot longer, but like Patrick Mahomes sits around for a year, sort of out of sight, out of mind. Nobody's crushing the Bills, right? It's just like Patrick Mahomes is sitting there on the bench. Then he gets in and starts playing that next year. And it's like, wait a second. Who traded that pick? Why did they do that? You know, and so these guys that get a chance to do that are so rare now. Love has gotten an extended chance. Maybe I've just been reading too much Go Long, but I'm buying Jordan Love. I'm in. I was going to take him. I should have known that he wouldn't last.
He's such a fun draft pick because of the unknown.
And Monas thought you were going Goff, and so I was like, wow, I'm going to get Jordan Love, and this is going to make this fun.
He could be his, with that combination of everything he can do. So, yeah, unknown. I'm excited to watch.
Like those receivers and backs are thrilled that Love is the quarterback in the sense of, like, their heads are not going to be swimming play to play like they were with Aaron Rodgers and walk up to the line of scrimmage. Oh shit! Like if he does this weird little signal or calls us audible, and I've never heard it before. What do I do? Like everybody will be on the same page. There's a beauty to simplicity and streamlining things. So, all right, I believe it's Mr. Fairburn's back-to-back picks here at 15 and 16.
I'm gonna stick with what I've been doing with my latest picks here. I'm going Dak Prescott, you know, a guy that's just done it, you know,
he
over
really
and over.
This
and
exercise.
He scares me with PFF.
Well, he does have some variance with PFF where when, you know, he's not playing well, he rides the roller coaster a little bit. Injuries have been a problem.
The good is good, though.
But when he gets cooking, he's right up there in the top seven or eight quarterbacks in football, I think. I didn't have the conviction to take him earlier, but when he slides to this spot, I feel pretty good. You know, I don't know what to expect from Dallas, but I just believe in the talent of Prescott enough here. And I'm making the boring picks, right? You know, you guys are stepping out on limbs.
Well,
I'm making some boring picks because I want a free dinner. You know, I'm
yes. I'm thinking how I'm already thinking about
meat
the odds.
And potato picks.
Here. I'm already exactly. thinking about the just, odds. Like there's yours
just stacking
is
good
yours
grades.
Is yes, yeah. You're coming in right now as the day. Yeah,
you're looking at so here's the Matt Fairburn's team so far: Allen, Herbert, Rodgers, Cousins, Prescott.
High floor.
I like that.
High floor.
That's a good way to say it.
My next pick, I could say this about my last three picks. Not super excited to run to the table and make these picks. I'm just sticking to the board. I'm letting the board tell me what I
should do. You should be excited about the players you're taking. You should be enthralled and intrigued. I mean, I'm beyond excited.
I haven't been prepped and polished by a PR staff to deliver, you know, all these great lines about my picks. I'm just giving you the honest truth. I'm not that thrilled, but I'm going to take Jared Goff.
Hey, that's what solid pick.
He's got a lot of talent around.
He grades well. For him
too. And he's not one of the 10 best quarterbacks in football, but here we are, and this is pick 16. And I think that's Jared Goff territory. Are there guys that could pass him on the list easily? Could Jordan Love easily be better than Jared Goff? Absolutely. But the baseline for Jared Goff is pretty solid. And I like what they have going in Detroit just as far as, you know, the talent they're putting around him and
loaded.
Solid offensive line. So I feel pretty good about the floor. I feel pretty good about the fact that he doesn't have a ton of competition to be – they didn't take a quarterback high enough that – I feel like he'll get replaced at any point. They're under enough pressure that they want that solid veteran. Boring pick, but
here's my thing with Detroit. It's enough. Like, do something. It's the NFC. You know, enough with this great offense and nobody.
Rodgers is gone.
He's such a Lions hater over here.
I'm just over.
Well, see, here I am again, just a loyal go long reader. I've been reading lots of positive words about the Detroit Lions, and
but PFF Goff is good.
They like Goff.
Their offense is off the charts. Do something. NFC's average.
Retaining Ben Johnson is massive, right? I mean, you watch all these games. His play calling is innovative.
I just don't think Goff's good enough. Yeah, no, I love their offense. Like their offense is real. Like they're making people on alert. Like you can tell they have people on their heels. They're bringing up points, yards. That's the sign, right? Like, but do something now. It's
well,
gotta
here's what's
translate.
Funny.
You
is
gotta do something.
If we were doing – when we do this exercise for the playoffs, I don't know if I want almost any of the guys I picked, right? So outside of Josh Allen.
Here, redraft.
Outside of Josh Allen, who I think, you know –
that's a good exercise. That should be the –
who, you know, Josh Allen has shown it in the playoffs, not to the level of the other two, but he has shown it. Aaron Rodgers has not been a great playoff performer of late. He's been slowed down.
More than of late. Really.
Herbert is unproven in the playoffs. Prescott, not great in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins, not great in the playoffs.
You've got a type.
Jared Goff. Not good in the play. Not good in important, tough games when you can scheme up for one game against a guy. Not good.
But drafting for the game.
I'm drafting for you said regular season. You said we'll do it again for the playoffs. So
PFF regular season.
I'll be throwing my team in the trash and picking possibly all new quarterbacks by the time that happens.
Good.
Because I'm throwing that caveat in there before people think I'm you know I got the bag of milk. Squad over here with all these boring picks, but looking for the regular season production only.
I'm really surprised that Dak fell to 15. I thought he might go up in that car range, really.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I don't see much difference between them. Carr was my, like, I feel like this is going to be a good year for Carr. That's my thing.
So our rules, we're going, we're each drafting seven quarterbacks, but we're taking the
top five
scores.
It protects you against injury, a guy getting benched, a real bad year.
That being said, I'm going to take Anthony Richardson at number 17. You can probably read these picks a mile away. Because if it hits, it hits. We debated this on a prior episode, Matt. I mean, he's just, I don't know. I think for the physical athletic skill set he has, there's really no comparison other than maybe Josh Allen. It's one of the strongest arms instantly. He didn't really look. Here's what I liked about Anthony Richardson at Florida. It's not like he looked to bail and run.
No.
He only ran when he had to. He probably should have ran more. Really, I mean, he probably should have taken up more than he did when he's got that ability, but he didn't. So that kind of tells me he's working through some reads. Like, he's trying to see what the defense is doing, and his incompletions didn't strike me as unfixable. I mean, it's not a fatal flaw, in my opinion. I think that with the right coaching, the right play calling, hello, Shane Steichen, right? He just did it with Jalen Hurts. You've got Isaiah McKenzie there in Indianapolis, so obviously the slot position is solidified. Michael Pittman, hello, Jonathan Taylor, the best running back in football, the best offensive guard in football. I'm not saying the Indianapolis Colts are going to contend for a Super Bowl, but hey, if we're going to – I love our format on taking the top five because if it hits, I mean, this is somebody who could just be something defenses haven't faced.
He wasn't on their board, that team's board.
You said Tim Tebow was a better prospect.
No, but I'm saying he's going with Steady Eddie. This
is
the definition of I like this. No, I like this.
One year made Anthony Richardson a tough sell for me is I don't know if in year one we're going to see everything that Anthony Richardson is capable of, but young quarterbacks are doing it quicker and quicker, it seems like. And
it does.
There's no, especially the guys who can make plays with their legs. That translates right away. So I like the roll of the dice.
I do too.
You've got some upside cooking in these later rounds. Well, I'm not going to give away my strategy because I got another pick. But, you know, this is what you want to do in the late rounds, I think, is swing for the fences. It's part of why the format has set us up to take some chances.
I knew it. You're taking Barkley, aren't you? Yeah, Barkley.
Well, you got to back up your star. You know?
Yeah.
You got to handcuff him, as they say in fantasy.
Handcuff him with the third stringer. All right. So, Monis,
your last two picks.
These are the
right.
Yeah, that's right.
This is what we always like to say in drafts. We like when you make it easy for us. Just let it fall. And these are the top two guys left on my board.
Don't you dare. There's still one guy I want badly.
See, this is a guy who's been over by his PR staff. He's got the one-liners ready.
This is a good question. Sure. Like, before you went out, because you did a few of those press conferences when we covered the team after picks. Like, were you getting coached up by PR? Like, were they telling you, hey, like, rubbing your shoulders? All right,
Jim? No. They were good. No, not for those. That was pretty much talk about the players. Mine were pretty basic. We know the ones that they prepped for, and it didn't go so well for Doug on that one. So their record on preps it wasn't that wasn't a good one.
I think there's some really good PR people out there. So excellent PR
good
people.
Coaches and average.
But the best ones just kind of let guys be themselves, right? Like, just be you, just be authentic.
Well, you can't really step in it when you're just breaking down why you picked a player, unless that player's got a little bugaboo in their past with something they did off the field or whatever, then you could step in it. But otherwise, pretty basic. And I mean, clearly, Jim just needed a little coaching. I mean, you can see that the cliches are just flying off the tongue here. He's got all the stock one-liners ready
for this. Like, these drafts are what it's all about in the offseason. We have nothing else to talk about. Like, all right, I guess nobody likes Super Bowl champions, but here we go. Out of nowhere, anybody think Sean Payton and McVay have a little saying? Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, my last two picks. Let's go.
Good. I'm glad you took them both. I don't want either. Get out of here.
I had
God, they're so bad. Russell Wilson.
What have you said? My team. Picking a guy for the Bills. God, he's so bad.
Russell, this boy, it's a seventh round. What can we do?
Russell Wilson. I picked Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. I don't think I saw two worst players on tape last year.
Russell Wilson was awful.
I can't believe that Sean Payton.
He was on television so damn much, too. The networks were in on the Broncos.
I'm going with Coach Payton somehow. The
Subway commercials still of all time.
I'm going with what horrific. Coach Payton did with, I don't know. And I'm going with McVay and Stafford saying, let's get back to, we're not going out like that. I want guys that are trying to prove, like Stafford, Russell Wilson, Deshaun. These are champion guys that were borderline as bad as it gets.
I don't even know what is around Stafford at this point. He still has Kopp, I guess.
I don't know.
But defensively, look at their roster. Look at the roster on defense outside of Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald's not going to
get it. I don't even know some of these guys.
Aaron Donald's probably not going to get it. He's going to try to wait till the playoffs anyway.
But it could help Stafford. He might be throwing a lot.
I get a good PFF grade.
Yeah. So it matters.
All right, there we go, champion.
Speaking of Russell Wilson and endorsements, and I mean that Subway commercial with the Danger Witch is, oh my god, it's one of those things you can never unsee. But Gina and I finally have been watching the Jared Fogle Subway documentary on HBO. Do you guys see that?
Did not.
Holy hell! Tell you what, when you have kids, it changes everything and how you see the world. It's definitely a must-see. It should be required viewing. It's sickening. But I just got to thinking, like, how did Subway, like, just so effortlessly
move on?
Like, that should be
– great point.
He survived, was the face of Subway for a decade. And he's doing what he did to these little kids. That should be, like, the end of your company. But, which, by the way, Quiznos are 100 times better than Subway anyways. I never understood how Quiznos was kind of left in the dust. If those two stores are by each other and you're dying for lunch, you go Quiznos every time. But then you also, the face of your company is a monster, and it's like they didn't even miss a beat. That's crazy to me. Especially when we see now, I mean, like Bud Light and Target are falling apart. Like, look at what Jared Fogle did. It's kind of nuts, huh?
He drafted a guy.
Somebody earned their paycheck. Keeping that company on the rails.
I guess.
Because the sandwiches, frankly, are not that good.
No. I mean, really, they're not that good. They're very average.
Yeah, not good enough to overcome that. But the business was, apparently.
Also, like Rob Gronkowski told me in Blood and Guts, like he had to put on all this weight when he got to college, like the beef up and be tight end. He said how he like just pounded Subways. You know, every dressing he could get, footlongs, eating a cookie with it. Like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that like so like Jared, like he's doing to lose weight, you're doing it to gain weight. And then now you see Rob Gronkowski in every other Subway commercial. I'm like, okay, were you trying to sift in a little advertisement into the book here, Rob? Come on.
All right, so scouting story, Subway. I can't eat there anymore. Because on per diem, when I first started scouting in the Northeast for Philadelphia, I'm thinking to myself, at lunchtime, I'll get the foot long, eat half lunch. Half dinner, get in the car. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm stacking per diem. I did it for weeks. I ruined Subway because I ate it so much.
Ate it that much.
I now can't eat it. But it's horrible. That's just like what I said about my pick. I couldn't stop eating it, but I did it for the per diem. And anyway, Russell Wilson, horrible last year.
I
took him.
I didn't tell you. I can't eat Subway.
Because?
Complete opposite reason. I think I was driving to New Jersey or Philly for a story a couple of years ago, and like right at the turn there at the bottom of New York State, like right in the corner, there's that exit. I forget what exit it is. Like it's like right before you go like to New York City or Philly. There's a Subway, and I went to get a foot long, and the guy, God bless him, I'm sure he was a nice gentleman. You know, he's here. He is trying to make a paycheck. Might have been 19, 20 years old, youngish guy, and he had a cold, and he just had, like, snot kind of all over his face, and he just sneezed, like, two or three times into his elbow while he was making my sub.
Bless.
Like he's making my sub, and he just turns and just explodes into his elbow. And, like, He apologized, and he had gloves on, and he finished the sub, and I paid for it, and I immediately threw it out, and I haven't eaten Subway since. I just can't. I can't do it.
That's tough one.
Tough one, bro.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we're definitely at pick number 20, breaking down Subway.
This happens in drafts. It can happen, trust me.
It's my pick, isn't it? All right, my final pick. I'm very glad you didn't take this player.
Who can you not believe?
So I can't believe he's there.
I feel like we should guess.
I can't believe
Tyler's
there.
Pick. He's a pretty predictable drafter.
Do you feel like you know it?
I feel pretty confident.
All right, but guess. Guess who it is.
Hold on. Oh, this is tough. I'm not going to get it.
My guess is Daniel Jones.
Ding, ding.
You know what I realized, though? You're right. There's some – this will be interesting. He's gonna score well.
Getting Daniel Jones at 20 here
that
is –
that could be a good – with one of
those. It's a coup.
It's about where he belongs.
It's a coup.
I agree, too.
I was considering him at 11 at the Tua pick. We were thinking Daniel Jones.
That's a – definitely.
You're going to get the running.
There's somebody out there that's shocking that he's not been drafted.
You're getting Darren Waller. They're adding weapons. They're drafting weapons. But I think number one reason you want Daniel Jones on your squad for this exercise is Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
That offense.
Yeah, you believe.
And they're going to innovate. They're going to stay a step ahead.
They showed it.
They're going to use him statistically one way or another. So – I think he's going to fill up a stat sheet.
They
I think the Giants are going to win a lot of games. I think they'll win the division and be a factor in the playoffs. Loving my squad.
That leaves me with Mr. Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
The final quarterback.
Brock Purdy?
Of the draft. No, the Mr. Irrelevant of this draft.
Of this draft.
I know.
Not a Brock Purdy guy.
I wonder if it'll be the guy that I cannot believe it.
So I'm having an internal debate over whether I should stick with the theme I've had or step out on a limb, you know, last pick, and take a chance on somebody who could, you know, make that jump. If I was going to go with the theme of my draft, Geno Smith is the easy pick.
Rock solid, steady.
Just a solid, steady veteran. But there's two younger quarterbacks that I'm thinking about. And the one I'm going to go with is a complete roll of the dice, but I like what he has around him. And I'm going to go with Desmond Ridder. In that offense, there's some talent. He's got Kyle Pitts. He's got Drake London. He's got Bijan Robinson now. Like, there is a good chance he could get benched before the end of the season, right? But they're going to let him go and earn the job and see what he's got. Mac Jones was in consideration here because when he played well as a rookie, Pro Football Focus had him hanging out around the top 10 quarterbacks. But my fear on Mac Jones is job security. Bailey Zappi's there and showed a little something last year, and I'm not feeling overly confident that New England is going to turn some corner just because they have Bill O'Brien. I might sit here and I feel bad passing on Geno Smith, but I feel like I got to spice it up for the sake of the podcast. Go for a little bit of a risk.
I love it. And I like Geno.
A lot more exciting than Russell and Stafford.
I mean, Geno definitely took defenses by storm. I mean, nobody saw that coming. The last month of the season, that's the question. Like, did he kind of come back to what he's always been?
That's
or
the
was that
I think there's as
the
much
play.
Risk in that as there is in Desmond Ridder never figuring it out.
Exactly.
Right? So.
Exactly.
I feel like I've built myself a solid foundation, right? If Desmond Ridder flames out, that's all right because we got Kirk Cousins.
He's
comfortable. You
know? Also, there was a picture making the rounds. We love OTAs, right? Oh, the clips, the pictures.
Yep.
A picture of Desmond Ridder.
Oh,
Ridder. Oh, my God. How many IPAs have I had? Ridder with a bicep exposed. And it was a big bicep. He had a gun, heavy artillery. Looked like somebody's been living in the weight room. We all know that's a storyline to track this time of year.
A year ago, would you have thought Kyler Murray does not get drafted in a top?
Well, wow, Kyler Murray wasn't even drafted.
Well, he's injured, right? He's going to be out for a while.
I mean, that's still that PFF final grade, though. You know what I mean? If he comes back and plays, whatever his grade would be.
That's a fair point. the injury was
but
the reason.
I think we all just moved on from it.
Who else didn't get picked here? I mean, we're looking at
Mac Jones, Geno Smith.
Yeah, Geno Bryce, the first pick of the
Kenny Pickett.
Pickett was.
Yeah. I thought about
Monis
Pickett.
Is a big Steelers. Yeah,
I'm a Pickett Steeler
there.
Believer, and he was in consideration. I went with proving champion coaches.
Yeah, the big thing with Kyler Murray for me was just the injury. You know, it's is he going to be ready? What's he going to look like when he's ready?
The team doesn't look
and,
good.
You know, the fact that nobody picked him is good because we probably would have been arguing about do you need to play a certain number of games to meet the threshold?
To get the threshold. Exactly.
Desmond Ritter.
Played 1 week.
Right, if Desmond Ritter plays one game and goes off and hurts himself at the end of the week.
Does that need to get – do we need a game?
We probably should work that in.
Yeah, there probably should be a pass attempts. But it's good that nobody picked Kyler Murray because that really would have been the only cheat code in that scenario. But
okay, can I ask my hockey question?
Fire away.
Are we good with that?
Hell yeah.
I'm not a huge hockey fan, but a fan of the city of Buffalo and a fan of the city of Las Vegas. Is Buffalo more of a party hard city than Las Vegas? Because Eichel seems just fine in Vegas.
You know, it's a fair question.
Is it or is it ridiculous? Is it
it's
like
a little
way over the top?
It's a little ridiculous, okay. But I do think there might be something to – it probably depends on the person, right? But if you're in Las Vegas, don't you become a little bit used to it at some point? And you're like, all right, I get to live here all year round. Getting down to business during the hockey season.
It just becomes bigger. It becomes
the bigger thing with Jack is that he's in a winning environment. He's surrounded, he's also in a place where he does not have to be everything. And I think that was always the biggest problem in Buffalo. Yeah. He was the captain way too young.
Too much.
He was expected, you know, to lift this franchise out of the basement. There was just a lot put on him, and out there he gets to be a part. And I feel like that's the better role for him. He might win the Conn Smythe if they win the Stanley Cup. I mean, he might, you know. And it feels
Lawrence Taylor wants Super Bowls.
It feels like, you know, it feels like Sabres fans aren't as riled up as you might expect about Jack Eichel doing so well, and it's probably because the Sabres are doing just fine themselves with what they got in return. But
it had to end. It had to end.
But it's also kind of like we talk about the mystery box. It's like, sure, they got Jack Eichel in the Stanley Cup, but the Sabres got the mystery box. It might even be Jack Eichel in a Stanley Cup. You know, like,
good point.
It's
cool.
It definitely ran its course, though.
It did. I mean, you got Jack Eichel versus Sam Reinhart in the Stanley Cup finals. That's a tough. And Brandon Montour on the Panthers. Can't overlook that. Another guy the Sabres traded away for a third round pick.
It's wild.
And he's a stud down there. So either way, you're going to have that moment with one of those guys holding the cup, thinking, especially when it's Reinhart and Eichel.
Ryan O'Reilly just did it.
Back-to-back number two picks that you tanked for. You know, those guys were the reasons that you tanked. And then they're going to fulfill that destiny elsewhere, essentially. It puts, I think, the way I've kind of framed it in my mind is, you know, it's not really Kevin Adams' fault that things had run their course with Jack Eichel. That was happening long before Kevin Adams became general manager. Certainly not Don Granato's fault. You know, he stepped in and didn't even get to, he might have coached, I don't even know if he coached Jack Eichel at all. But it does put a certain pressure on you to set up that environment, right? Wow. So that you're the team that guys come to and they become the best. And they're starting to do that. I mean, Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, all these guys having career best seasons. It just puts that pressure on you to not drive away star players anymore, to not be a place where it gets so bad that guys beg out.
I was very – Grant, I wasn't even really back in Western New York yet. I think I moved back in 2015 from Green Bay.
Yeah, you would have been moving back that summer that they took Eichel.
But I remember being very pro-tank because Connor McDavid was worth it. And I went to a couple of Erie Otter games, and it's like, this guy is a freaking Chico. It's insane what he does on the ice. Like, I'm no hockey savant, but I'm like, this is worth doing whatever you can to give yourself the greatest odds to get this player. But to your point, what it took to get to that point, man, they tore that locker room apart, the roster apart. I mean, you go to a Sabre game, you know, during those tank years and even in the years that followed, and there's just an energy, an atmosphere, a pop that was lost that you had. I mean, it's crazy. Those playoff games in the late 90s and then the renaissance there in 05, 06, they were insane. I'll never forget going to those games for the rest of my life. I mean, you can't even hear yourself think in that arena. And then to just do everything you can to get that player, like,
not for nothing,
you lost that.
McDavid was the prize, right? And he's watching from home right now, again. You know, the Oilers haven't been able – hockey's a different sport, right, where –
it's a different sport.
Connor McDavid was everything the Oilers could have hoped for and more. And still, they haven't found the right mix around him. So it's not Connor McDavid's fault. It's not, you know, it's not like he doesn't show up in the playoffs. It's that it takes a hell of a lot more than that. And that's the beauty of how it's worked out for Jack Eichel in Vegas, is that he was, you know, sort of that piece that they needed, but he doesn't have to be everything. And you also see different types of players put their teams on their backs. You know, you got Sergei Bobrovsky carrying the Panthers, but Matthew Tkachuk being a style of player that you don't see a lot of in the NHL, he wasn't, you know, flying off the board number one, and yet here he is. He's probably your redrafting NHL players right now. He's right up near the top of the list. I mean, he's second on – I'm guessing come second in the Hart voting on McDavid. I mean, McDavid was wildly good this year, points wise. But Tkachuk, with the season he had and what he does for that team, he is just pound for pound one of the best players in hockey. So it takes so many different elements to pull it off. So you know, the bars are open till 4 in Buffalo, to Jim's point. You know, Buffalo is a little bit of a crazy town. Jack has it all, you know, at his fingertips in Vegas, but I think there is something different when you walk into a locker room where the expectation is Stanley Cup and it's all business. And you know, he's a competitor. He knows. That's what he wants. He wants to prove people wrong. He wants to show that he can win. So
the building matters.
The strip is still going to be
culture
there.
Culture matters.
I'm starting to go building, whatever it is, culture. It matters. You guys have all been around it. You see the good, you've seen the bad. I've been a part of the best in the NFL.
Ultimate, too.
Everything Vegas has to offer is going to be right there waiting for Jack if they win the Stanley Cup, right? It's all right there in the offseason. Look, it's not going anywhere. So I think there's that element of it. Where
that's for
even for guys who like to enjoy the nightlife,
that was more.
That's you know, heck, if anything, that's motivation to get a parade going through.
Yeah,
Las Vegas. But, yeah, you know, yeah, fun Stanley Cup.
Man, I didn't know we were getting bonus NHL analysis. That was excellent, man.
Just for some reason being out there, I'm like, Michael is, I don't know, situations. Buildings,
I tell you what, the hockey playoffs have been way better than the basketball playoffs, in my opinion. I've tried to watch as much as I can of both. I don't think it's been close.
I feel like both had some letdowns, right? The NBA hasn't been great. The NBA has not been great.
Yeah. Some runaway series, you know.
Yeah, I don't feel like the sweeps are happy right now.
I guess I'm more so disappointed in the NBA.
I would agree.
Even the 7-game series, it wasn't –
not the same.
Like, history will show, oh my gosh, they almost came back from 3-0. It really wasn't that exciting a series. The Derek White play was incredible, I guess.
For the Heat to be in the finals based on how they played this year and should have lost in the play-in.
Yeah.
Like, it's the NBA regular season is completely pointless.
Sweep?
No, I think it's too hard to sweep for some reason.
Heat get a game, too?
It's tough. As long as Denver wins a series, we're good.
There you have it. Well, more importantly, it's about this draft that just transpired. Huh. So
I can't wait to go analyze.
I mean, if I win, I'm going.
Kuiper's grades come out.
Two appetizers,
Kuiper's grades. Kuiper's grades are coming.
The grades will be out on Monday. All right, that was fun.
All right.
Thanks so much for doing it, fellas. Matt, for joining
joining the squad.
Everybody has kids, too, so it's not easy leaving kids. I appreciate it.
It's always a good time with you, fellas.
And hey, Let's hang out at Hamburg.
Hamburg Fatties is spot,
right?
Oh, Hamburg Music.
Yeah,
too.
This weekend, and then of course Fatties. Fatties will be doing. They got some music here too.
Bumping.
Make sure you get on out.
Ninja Turtles on the arcade, Space Invaders back here. I mean, this place has it all.
Everything you could possibly need. Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next time.